Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well.
Happy New Year to you.
To you and to all our listeners and viewers and all the other various bits and bats of people you used to contact or hear about us.
Well, it's certainly a happy new year at the moment for quite a lot of Leeds fans, KB, because news came out yesterday that the Italian businessman Andrea Radrazzani has done a 50% takeover of the club, and he's purchased a stake for his company, Acer Group Holding, from Massimo Cellino. I thought we'd get your thoughts on the latest happenings at Elland Road.
Well, I was aware of that more than a few days ago, because Massimo told me. But in confidence, so I didn't say anything about it. And I also believe that you don't say it until things are done, now they've been announced. It's an interesting situation. Obviously, the man is Italian, as is Massimo, so has certain cultural links, and I think they have previous going back for some years and other matters. This gentleman's an interesting person. He went to Singapore, started a media agency, and I believe he's got quite strong connections with the Asian rights of British football. And last year he sold a majority stake for over $650 million to a Chinese group who's still associated with that business and running it, I gather. So now he has bought 50% of Leeds for cash. He didn't have to buy it from GFH. And he has an option in two options with Massimo as to the other half, but that they haven't revealed yet, so therefore it's been appropriate for me to comment. Other than that, it does sound a good deal both for Massimo and for the incoming investor. So things are looking good. He's coming into a club which is near the top of the league, has first-class training facilities, has a good ground, unless GFH rubbished it in the 2-3 years they were not in charge of it, so to speak. So he's coming into a flying start, and the team on the up, good manager, all the players are buzzing, and 33,000 gate for the game against Rotherham, so that he's coming in on a fly, and good luck to him.
Yeah, so say all us, KB. Exciting times at Elland Road, as you say. The transfer window now open. Possibility of a bit more investment coming in to stabilise the squad and tie some people down on contracts. And Gary Monk coming out and saying no one's leaving in January. So Charlie Taylor possibly staying as well. It's exciting times, KB.
Well, I think the reason why we lost quite a number of our young players in the past is for the simple reason that they couldn't see us getting promotion under the then managers, irrespective of which one they were, and they wanted Premiership football. And that's why they lost Cook, Byron, to name just two. But now where we're pushing, looks every chance that we can win promotion. Therefore, they don't need to leave their home, or their home county, to play in the Premiership. So that's a positive thing. And once Gary Monk has made that definitive statement, that will maybe save the agents and the predators from wasting their time. If you don't get promotion, then Charlie can ask for a transfer in the summer, if he still wants to go. So that gives the team a good chance for the 22 games left. Oh, plus the cup.
Yeah, certainly there's going to be some interesting times ahead to the end of the season and some positive Leeds United fans out there. Moving on to more Leeds United news, and certainly the ex-Leeds United boss David Haig has been told to pay GFH £4 million after a Dubai court ruling. I thought I'd get your thoughts on that, KB.
Yes, well, I've read the Dubai court ruling, and start off by saying straight away that the Dubai legal system is appalling. There's another man in prison for 2.5 years without trial. And the, as usual, the Foreign Office in Dubai grants to do nothing about it. Not under pressure. It's a waste of time having an English passport. Doesn't protect you at all. And David Hay, as we know, was kept under those vile conditions. He was lured back to Dubai on a pretext. He was in entrapment. His case had been reported to the United Nations. The Dubai mob, sorry, a Bahraini mob, say they'll pursue trying to collect this award throughout the world. I think it's all talk, because I think David Hay, with his legal team, will fight it. And if Patel and Hisham come to England, I think they'll come to Britain, I think they'll be hit with a few cases of their own, personally, as well as GFH. So this is a long-running saga. I mean, for example, he was in the Priory Clinic, which I knew about at the time, but again, wasn't generally publicised, for 9 weeks for post-traumatic treatment. And they tried to serve papers on him while he was in the hospital. That's the kind of people they are. Kind of scumbags they are. And I suspect this has got a long way to run. I suspect that Mr. Haig will probably come out of it much better than the picture being painted at the moment.
Well, we certainly hope so, KB. Moving on to some other business, and once again, Europe is all in the headlines again. This week, to do with the EU ambassador, KB, Sir Ivan Rogers has left the post of EU ambassador, and now they've appointed, we believe, Sir Tim Barrow. Sir Ivan was certainly quite scathing on the way out, saying that Brexit might take up to about 10 years to fully go through.
He had no right to do what he did. He was in a position of trust in confidential information. His job was to represent Britain's interests in Europe. You don't do it by saying it will take 10 years to do the negotiations. But he should have resigned the moment Cameron resigned. He's a Remainer, or Remainer. He's obviously not going to do his best for a cause which he doesn't believe in, and in fact opposed. So therefore he should have resigned at the time that Cameron left. He didn't, so he's wasted 6 years of the Prime Minister's reign. But at least the good thing is he did resign, because he would have to have been sacked anyway. So that was then when he had to have a big payoff, so presumably, hopefully. The fact that he's resigned voluntarily means that at least that's a dollar per money saved. We want somebody representing us in Europe who's going to fight for our cause, not knock it and undermine it. The new man, apparently a different kettle of fish, is former ambassador to Russia, so therefore he will know all about dealing in a hostile environment. That's a pretty strong man to hold that post down. He needs to go in and speak on behalf of the government, on behalf of the British people, the majority of the British people, who said we want out. Hopefully this guy will be more productive in assisting Theresa May and our government to achieve that. Things are looking good for the Brexiteers. Unemployment down. Wages up. Productivity up, investment coming in at the rate of knots into the UK, balance of payments improving, all positive. And you've got people like Osborne has discredited lying Osborne, who forecasts a $50 billion emergency budget, half a million people unemployed, having the temerity to try and make a so-called comeback. Because, of course, he's a nobody. He's discredited. And now I read in the paper this morning, what, Tony Blair? Putting $9.5 million of his ill-gotten gains into a foundation to oppose Brexit. What's it going to do with him? 17 million people said they want out. He should carry on giving peace advice to corrupt regimes, as he has done for the last 15 years. Now, things are looking good. Things are looking good for the UK. And if we could only get a knife out and get rid of all those quangos that Cameron promised to get rid of in 2010 and didn't, increase the number, and get rid of the stupid money of foreign aid that we're wasting. Apparently now, people in Pakistan are getting British ATMs and withdrawing our aid, cash, for spending money. What the hell's going on? Apparently in Pakistan, only 1% pay their taxes, though they live there. The rest is all on foreign aid. But they do have a number of nuclear weapons. They can afford that. Yeah, the whole thing is crazy. The thing is looking good for Britain. All you've got to do is cut out the waste and the extravagance. Put Mrs. Sturge in her place. And near her home, Yorkshire is expanding. So it leads. And of course, Leeds United. But also, apart from Leeds, you've got Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United, and Huddersfield all doing well. So we've got a lot to be proud about in God's own county. Well, long may it continue. And one final thing, of course, is I doubt that our new Italian investor will need much advice from the people who are long on tongues and short on pockets. Just to get behind Gary Monk and congratulate Cellino on doing a very good deal. Both for himself, don't begrudge him that, and Leeds United. And may that all add up to a very happy new year, a very great 2017 to all our listeners and viewers.
As ever, KB, an absolute pleasure to talk, and we'll chat again at the same time next week.
We will indeed. Thank you. Bye.